All right. So, and musicians, thank you. You can just start to bring it to a close. It's interesting. This new sermon series that I was getting ready to do. I had thought about it. I try to plan out my sermons at the beginning of the year as much as possible, as much as the Lord allows. And I had, a different series planned. But it has been made known, St. John, what you want me to preach about. So, I am letting you know that as I get ready to talk about this for the next, however many Sundays, this is what you asked for. Okay? I don't know where you feel. I don't know how you feel about politics, but what one thing that people keep saying is, this is what we voted for. Well, St. John, this is what you voted for. This series is going to be called Tithes and Offerings. St. John, you have made it known that that we do not talk enough about tithes and offering. Now, there's a couple of things I want to say about that. One, I'm just going to say the word, hate the image of a prosperity preacher. I hate the image of somebody who looks like me and is dressed like me and is out to confuse your little minds so that you can give more money to me, the church. I absolutely hate that image. And I don't know if you've realized this, but I have already preached two entire series on giving. And every single year, the years that I don't preach on the series, I preach at least one sermon that is completely dedicated to giving. However, you have seen, and let me add this, in our new members program, which was created, by the way, under my tenure, I specifically added a video, an entire training on giving. This is apart from all the Sunday school lessons. This is apart from Bible studies. But St. John, you said it wasn't enough. So you know what? I'm about to preach on this. And my prayer is that by the end of this entire series, you will be begging me to stop. But I am going to make absolute sure that you know that I preached on tithes and offerings. Please turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi. If you don't know where Malachi is, open your Bible to the table of contents. If you look in the Old Testament section, it is the last book in the Old Testament section. If you look, there's Old Testament and New. Go look for Malachi, M-A-L-A-C-H-I, Malachi. Turn to that page number, and then once you are there, turn to the third chapter. Malachi, the book of Malachi, the third chapter and the eighth verse. And just for your reference, we're going to be staying in this book of Malachi throughout this series, so get used to turning there. In fact, I would suggest you bookmark it. You say you don't have a bookmark, find an envelope, put it there. Malachi, If you don't know where, if you don't have either of those, if you have a phone, take some notes, put it there, or take a picture so you can see where you are. Malachi, 3rd chapter, 8th verse. When you have it, say amen. Amen. This might be the last amen I get today, so I'm just going to enjoy that one. Book of Malachi, 3rd chapter, 8th verse. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version just because of the wording, but you will find similar words printed in your text. The book of Malachi, 3rd chapter, 8th verse reads as follows. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." God talking, right? "But you say, in what way have we robbed you?" And God's response is, "In tithes and offerings." The title of today's sermon is A Great Robbery. A great robbery. You may be seated. A great robbery. And don't worry, we just staying on that verse, so just stay there. How many of you, when you left your place of residence, made sure that the doors were shut? Don't raise your hand, because somebody might not raise their hand and give themselves away. How many of you made sure that your house was shut, and if you have an alarm system, that the alarm was turned on? And some of us even got cameras that we can check from our cell phones. Somebody didn't know you could do that. Amen. You learned something here at church. And why do you do that? You're not there. It's not a safety issue, because you're here. If you're online, I mean, I can understand what you're saying, but you know, when you leave, it's not a safety issue. Well, why do you do that? Because you don't want anybody to come in, break in, and steal your stuff. This church building, after we are done today, is locked and the alarm is set. And we have cameras all over the place. Why? Because we don't want people to steal our stuff. We don't want a robbery. Some of us even made sure that we locked our cars. Even though there's a gate up there, we got to make sure that nobody comes in and takes our stuff. We're big on making sure that the things that we work for, that we keep. We, not only just as individuals, but we, just even as a nation, hate stealing. Matter of fact, what happens if you get caught stealing? You get arrested, and you get a record, and it changes your whole life. Hello? So it's important. It's important not to steal. And God forbid if we would ever be caught stealing from the church. God forbid that you ever get accused of taking some money out of that, you know, offering that we just collected. God forbid that you get caught taking one of our pieces of equipment. Tech team said amen to that. God forbid. And so if I were to ask you, if have you ever stolen from church, you would stand up in front of my face and say, "I have never stolen from the church." However, there might be a way and even a more heinous way that you are stealing from God. So that's the question we're going to cover today. How are you robbing God? The point of this sermon is not to call you out individually and make you confess. That's not what I do. Now, I know some people that do that, and I do not agree with that. However, you need to stand before a holy God who has way more power and authority than I do. How are you robbing God? This is what y'all wanted me to preach on. I'm doing what y'all asked. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? That's the question we're asking today. How do we rob you, Lord? Ain't none of us been to heaven and took something and came back? How did we rob you? And in the New King James Version, it says, in tithes. Everybody say tithes. And offerings. Okay. I'm going to read out of the Christian Standard Bible version the same thing. Instead of tithes and offerings, it uses this phrase, payments of the tenth and the contributions. So we're going to spend a little bit of time understanding exactly what's going on. This is being written when the Israelites have come back from captivity. This is during the time of Nehemiah, and they've already got the temple going. They've already got the priesthood going and whatnot, the Levitical priesthood going on. Don't worry, I'm going to explain some of that if you don't know what I'm talking about. But just to give some context, this was. I would say about 500 years ish before Christ. Now, when it talks about tithes and offerings, let's make sure we are all on the same page. Okay, some of y'all might say, "Well, didn't we cover this in Bible study?" Yes, you did. We're gonna cover it again. What is a tithe? A tithe was a tax. Okay? A tithe was a 10% tax off of gross income or production. If you made $100, you gave 10. If you made $1,000, you gave 100. Don't worry, we're gonna do some math later. Y'all wanted this. I'm gonna give it to you. If you grew 1,000 apples back then, the tithe was 100 apples, 10%. You know, move the decimal, you know. That was what a tithe was. What? Whatever you produced, not what you had left over. Some of y'all already don't like the sermon. It wasn't what you had left over. Y'all know how the government get a cut before you get your check? The tithe was a tax. That government got a cut before you were allowed to have yours. The tithe was a tax. Now, the reason why it says, did y'all realize this, that it says in tithes with an S? That means it's, somebody said plural. Amen, English teachers, amen. So what actually happened was there were three tithes. Talking about, we get into the robbing God part. There were three tithes. One was for the Levites. The Levites We're a group of Israelites in that time that had no inheritance. That means that they couldn't go out like you and me and go buy property and work all these kind of jobs and do whatever. Okay, they were dedicated to the service in the tabernacle or the temple. The closest representation of a Levite in America is someone like me. If I were a full-time pastor, my entire day, my dedication would be to here and you. Does that make sense? Okay, and then they had priests who were Levites. So, not all Levites were priests, but all priests were Levites. Okay, so you had some priests that did special things, but Levites were just around the temple. That's what they did. They took care of church, as we would say. One of those tithes, nationally, was for them. Another tithe was for the national religious festivals. If you're gonna have a festival, you got to have some money. So you got to tithe for that. And then the third tithe, and this one was special because it was once every 3 years. That tithe was for the poor. So the 10% that the nation would collect would be distributed among the poor, as well as some of the Levites and whatnot. That's what those three tithes are for. And so what it actually amounts to, if you do the math, you guesstimate 23.3% of your total income was tithes. Oops, somebody said oops. Okay. And if someone said, y'all say that's so much, have y'all looked at your check lately? This is still lower than our check, or what they take out of our checks, but we'll come to that. Offerings. Now, wait a minute. Let me back up. It says tithes and offerings. I always thought they were the same thing. Nope. The tithe is one thing. Offerings were a different thing. Now, some of y'all were in Bible study this Wednesday. You'd already know what I'm about to say. Offerings varied. Okay, they were for different occasions, and also it depended on your income. Exactly what you gave. So you had generally five types of offerings. You had a burnt offering, which was, for thanks and worship and devotion, commitment, and also atonement. Okay, it was kind of a big time offering. Grain offering, and usually that was coupled with a drink offering, but we can consider it one. Grain offering. That was for gratitude and thanksgiving. Here's a fun fact. What communion is, what Jesus did, actually represented, fulfilled the grain offering for gratitude and thanksgiving. He blessed it and he thanked and said. Peace offering represented thanksgiving and fellowship. Sin offering was for atonement and cleansing. And then the guilt or the trespass offering was for atonement from unintentional sins against God and others. All of these offerings required you to do something. You had to bring something, whether it was food or you had to sacrifice an animal. Still talking about back then. You had to bring something so that you can make your sacrifices and do what was needed. Those offerings Also, depending on what the offering was, those offerings also turned into food for the Levites. And, you know, sometimes the poor as well. So, again, the Levites couldn't go out and work. That they were completely dependent upon people bringing that. And why am I saying, why do offerings matter? Because God was setting the principle is that you can't simply say you love him. You got to show you love him. You can't just simply say, God, I'm sorry. You actually had to show it. You can't say, God, I really do care about those that are less fortunate than me. You actually had to put your money where your mouth is. Y'all still with me? So the Levites, again, the people taking care of the temple, you know, people like me. The Levites were completely dependent upon these offerings from the nation. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. As were the poor at that time. They were completely dependent, just like here, completely dependent on the well-meaning and good intentions of others. The Levites, again, were not allowed to own land. They were not allowed to do their own thing. They were chosen to be at the temple and completely their housing, food, everything completely dependent. I'm saying this because if we wanted to be exactly like the Israelites, technically, you would have to make sure you cover all my living expenses, including that of my family, Felicia and Jason and Julie. Oh, and not just me. You need to make sure you take care of every church employee. I mean, if we're being technical. I'm going somewhere, okay? Don't walk out on me just yet. Someone like me would be completely dependent upon people like you to make sure I am covered, including my housing. So, why is God saying it's a robbery going on? Because what was happening in that time was that people were not paying their tithes and offerings. They weren't. So then what happened was that people like me had to go work a second job. Y'all asked me to preach this. I'm just talking to you. So that was, God considered that a robbery, because the point of God collecting all of this money was to make sure that the Levites and the poor and others were taken care of. So guess what? Did you know this? That when you don't pay what you owe somebody, it's called stealing? What? I thought stealing was, you know, kind of, you know, that's what I thought stealing was. But did you realize that when you don't pay people what you're supposed to pay them, that's actually called stealing? Let's not even get spiritual. Do you realize that if you do not pay a debt, that you're supposed to pay, you will get arrested. Just talking California, code of regulation, the regulations in California, just talking about that. Some of us want to run up credit cards, free money, see what happens when you don't pay them. Some of us go to restaurants and got the money for it. See what happens when you try to skip out. Don't get arrested over dumb stuff. Change your whole life, got a record and all this, because you cheap. Hello. When you don't pay what you owe, it's called stealing. When you tell somebody, hey, I'm going to pay you back. You loan me $100, I'm going to pay you back. And you don't pay them back? It's actually called stealing. So in the context of this, they were robbing God. They were stealing from God by not paying their tithes or their offerings. Is everybody hearing me? Because I'm trying to make sure y'all remember I preached on this. It's stealing. However, it's even worse when you really look at it. Because I think about it. I say, you know, it's one thing if I say, you know what, I ain't on SSI. I'm just not gonna pay it. That's one thing to say that, right? But what would happen if I chose not to, you know, portion out some of my check for SSI? Those friendly IRS agents find a way to get me, right? So what's interesting in this passage, I'm getting somewhere, is that not only are people not putting in for disability, not only are people not putting in for welfare, not only are people not doing this, but the government is not prosecuting them for it. The people, talking about Israel, were essentially evading taxes, and the government did not enforce it. Big issue. It's a big problem. I would say, some of us would say, it's a big problem if I choose not to pay SSI, and then the government says, well, James, you know, you have it's your money. Well, I don't want to pay disability. I'm not disabled. Well, and the state of California says, well, James, I think you should pay it, but who am I to judge? California government saying that. Who loses? The people that actually depend on SSI and the people that actually depend on disability. I'm not trying to make a political statement, y'all. Be clear about that. I'm just telling you what it was and what it is. There were people that needed this money, and it wasn't coming in, and the government wasn't forcing them. That's why God was ticked off. Let me say it another way. Those on government assistance were not receiving much government assistance. That's what was happening. And I want to say this, because some of us are saying, well, how does this relate to me? I understand Israel, they had some issues, but taxes coming out of my check, so I don't know. Look, the principle is this. You know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, he can create, He created everything out of nothing. He just spoke and it came to existence. God does not need anything from you. He does not need money, but his people do. Let me say that real clear. God doesn't need money, but his people do. I told you I ain't had one amen left since. That's okay. That's okay. So let me bring this to today. I'm going to blow some of y'all minds. Technically, when it comes to the New Testament church, technically, when we are talking about what we're doing here and today, for us here presently, for us here online, technically, there is no such thing as a tithe. Technically, what most people call tithes is actually an offering. That's actually what we're giving. I heard of a church, there was a church in 10 years ago, almost about 10 years ago, that submitted a letter to one of its members and said that the member was overdue in membership dues. And if they did not pay $1,000, they would lose their membership. Keep in mind, for that church, membership dues were different than the offerings. Hello? Now, we're not doing that here. I'm very much against that here. Please don't even try to bring that to me. No. However, even though we don't have a required tax type of payment for you, which if we were being real, it should not be 10%. It should be 23.3%. Hello? Even though we don't have that here, we do request offering. That's why the period is called offering. So just so people can, you know, there's people that say, well, you know, we don't tithe anymore, so I ain't got to do nothing. Yeah, no, that's not how that works. Told y'all are not going to like the sermon. How much should we be giving in an offering? I don't have turtle doves. I don't have lambs to come and sacrifice. And please don't come and bring them animals to sacrifice to church. We don't do that. What should I be bringing? How much should I give? We're going to get to that. We ought to give offerings, though, if we can. If we can. Again, you know, the offerings were for the Levites and the poor. There's some people that can't give. However, and I want to make it extremely clear because I got called up about this the last time I talked about tithes and offering. Yeah, I did preach about tithes and offering before, and I got called up about it, so that's how I know. I want to be clear. We are one of the most blessed nations of all time. We have abundance upon abundance anyway. Some of us are wearing some really nice clothes. Some of us are driving some really nice cars. And some of us got some really nice bank accounts. You ought, if you can give, you should give. Can you? Let me answer the question for about 99% of you. Yes. Yes, you can. 99% of you. Melody can't give yet. She just got here. But if you can understand what I'm saying, you can probably give. I'm just going to answer the question for you. Yes, you can probably give. We're going to talk about how much in a minute. Don't worry. This is what y'all wanted me to preach on. I'm going to get to it. Now, some of us have more than enough. And the reason why some of us have more than enough is because some of us have less than enough. Some of us ought to be giving more than what we're giving because we need to be able to support those who don't have enough. Now, that said, we live in the great state of California. God bless welfare. God bless SSI. God bless disability. God bless all of those federal programs that they give us and state programs and sometimes local programs that they give us. God bless the food bank. Amen. God bless all of these ministries. We don't have it as bad as some other people do. So therefore, not as much is required. We're not required, as they did in the New Testament, early in the New Testament, to sell houses and things like that just so that people could eat. We're not in that situation. So thank God that we're here. That said, sometimes people in this congregation, here online, wherever you may be, sometimes we need help. And the help, after exhausting all the government resources, after exhausting all the other resources that they have, we should be able to have a little extra to make sure that they're good. Because some of us have more than enough. Some of us have way more than enough. And the reason why God has us in the same church is because some of us have less than enough. We should be giving enough to meet the needs of this church. Every year we have a budget meeting. You want to know what the needs of the church are? It's literally listed line by line. We are a 501c, we're under an umbrella of a 501c3. We can make this public. This is not private information. If you want it, you can come get it. Y'all hear me, right? We should be giving enough to meet the needs of this church. Y'all keep asking me the same question. How much? I'm going to say this. It's between you and God. There is no set amount, okay? There is no set amount. It's between you and God. How much should you be giving? I absolutely refuse to check your giving statements. I have no idea what any of you give, and I don't want to know. Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me, Pastor James, I just gave $1,000 to the church. I don't need to know that. And please don't come up here and announce it either. You think you're being holy and all that, but then people start looking at you side-eyed and start expecting that from you. It actually backfires. But that's not what the sermon is about. How much? That's between you and God. I'm going to help you out in a minute. Try 10%. Try 10%. And then see if you should go up or down. Now, some of us said, I hate math. I don't know what to do. Well, praise God. I just happen to have a degree that requires that I be good at math. So, we gonna do some math today. So, I know we have different payment situations. Here's what I want you to do. Yes, we are actually doing this. Take out your phone, for those of you that have phones, and I want you to open your calculator app. It will look like a calculator. Your phone has one. Don't worry about it. Your phone has a calculator app. Pull it out. Y'all gonna remember this sermon. Pull it out. Now on your calculator. Let me do something real quick because some of us don't have calculators, but I want everybody to participate. So I'm going to drag this calculator up here. Y'all see this calculator? All right, so here's your plus sign, here's your minus sign, here's your multiplication sign, that's an X, and then the division sign's got that line with the two dots on each side. There you go. Again, I'm explaining because somebody might not know how to do this. All right, so let's say you get paid one time. We're going to go through some math exercises. Yes, we are. If you are paid one time, you do somebody's hair, you get paid. You go fix something for somebody, you get paid. If you are paid one time, what you need to do is you put your number here, how much you were paid, and then the X times, and then 10%. That percent sign is right here. It's like the side with the O's, percent. So, let's look at one example. If you got $150, because you put some individuals in somebody's head. Somebody said amen. 10% is $15. How do I know? You went too fast, Pastor Brooks. How did you do that? Okay, 150. This is on your phones now. I'm teaching you. 150 times that little X, 10, and then put that percent. Okay? Let me do that. 150 times 10%. This one operates a little differently, so I can't use this. But on the phone, it works a little better. If you don't know how to do that, then you could just put in 150 times 0.1. That's really how it should work. I don't know why this calculator does it like that. So if you paid one time, just for one thing you did, that's how it works. But Pastor, I'm an hourly employee. I got something for the hourly. If you are paid hourly, I need you to tell me how much you're getting paid an hour. Don't shout it out. Just keep it in your head. How much are you getting paid per hour? And then how many hours did you work this week? And the reason I say this week is I'm a firm believer. You should just, it's just easier on you if you just pay weekly. I'm just throwing that out there. So then once you get that number, multiply that by 10%, and you get your number. How does that work? I make $20 an hour, and yes, this is before taxes. You know how much you make. $20 an hour times 15, that gives you $300 a week, times the 10%, that means you get $30. Y'all with me? That 20 times 15, that gives you $300, times 10%, okay? So this is 10%, and that gives you $30. That's how that works. Well, Pastor, I'm actually salary. Praise God, we got something for you too. If you are paid salary, take your yearly salary, again, before taxes, divide that by 52 weeks in a year, and that gives you how much it is a week, and then we're going to do the same thing, times 10%, and that's how much you would give per week. How does this work? You make $50,000 a year. Amen. God bless you. FYI, the average income for residents of South Central is about $50,700 and something dollars. Average income. So I'm right on the money here. $50,000 a year. Divide that by 52 weeks. That's how much you make a week. Now, let's take 10% of that. Take that number. You got to round up, you know, it's 538 and, you know, round up 54. 961, 54 times 10% is $96.51 per week as your offering. Y'all with me? And some of y'all said, well, yeah, all y'all working folks need to get it together, but whew, good thing I'm retired. Good thing I only get a check once a month. I got something for you too. You know, most retirement income is pre-tax, right? So here we go. Okay. You'll get that one later. I'm making whatever a month. Well, the strategy to do this is to multiply it by 12 so you can get the yearly. Then you do what we just did. You divide that yearly number by 52 weeks, and then you take 10%. Okay? So let's do that. Average, I believe on average in American average is about $1,500 a month. You know, I don't know where you are on that, above, below, but it's $1,500 a month. Okay, multiply that by 12, that means you're making 18 grand a year. Take that 18 grand, divide that by 52. I hope y'all doing this on your calculators. This might help somebody. And then here you go, $346.15 a week. That would be how much you're making a week. So then take 10% of that, $34.62 a week. We all know how to give now. If you want more lessons, let me know. I can help you use your calculator to figure it out. Now, some of y'all are looking at this. Some of y'all did the calculation on your own phone, and you don't know if you can do that, you know, just because of the situation you're in. And it's not because you're driving some new Benz and now you ain't got no money. It's not because of that. It's because, you know, you're just scraping by and whatnot. That's why I say start with 10% and see where you can go from there. For some of y'all, 10% is like, man, that's way too much. I'll get put out. I'm already, you know, I can't do it. Then you know what? Just drop down the percent a little bit. Whenever it says 10%, drop it down. Now, for some of y'all, y'all not going to say it out loud, but y'all like, man, that's easy. That means. Hello? In the sermon, James. How are you robbing God? Let me be just straight up with this. If you aren't contributing what you should to St. John, we're just going to let that screen just stay there so that everybody has time to read it word by word. If you are not contributing what you should, and you know what you should, if you are not contributing what you should, not what brother so-and-so might be doing, not sister so-and-so, I'm talking about you with your income, with your situation. If you are not contributing what you should to St. John, you are stealing from God. Let me say that real clear. I know the time is running. If you are not contributing what you should to St. John, you are stealing from God. I'm going to say this again because somebody online just sat down. If you are not contributing what you should to St. John, I don't understand what contributing means. If you did not do the math and figure out how much money you are giving to St. John, if you did not do that, You're a member of this church, and you did not do that. You are presently stealing. You are presently robbing God. Hello? In the sermon, James. Jesus gave up so much for us. Y'all know the story. He came and was born through the Virgin Mary and lived for 33 years and got beat up and towed up and put up on that cross for us, for sins that we committed, including this stealing that we've been doing. He got beat up. He got treated as a criminal for us. And thank God that he decided not to just come down and say, you know what, y'all just deal with it yourself. But he stayed on there and took our punishment for us. And he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hand. And so for when we talk about how can we thank him, how can we, what can we do for Jesus? Well, guess what? Financial giving to St. John is one of the main ways we give back. Again, I'm talking to members of St. John Baptist Church that are able to give, which is a whole lot of you. So let me say it another way. If you can, you should. You already know how much. We just went through the exercises. We did the math. I didn't write the code on the calculator. Calculator's a calculator. You already know how much you should be giving. So don't rob God by robbing St. John. And I'm going to close on this. You know, sometimes, you know how people, you know, like to, you know, come over your house or just hang around you. And, you know, they're not really helping you out. You know, they're not really trying to, you know, give you money or anything. But whenever you go to the store, they all of a sudden want something too. Y'all know them people? You know, if you out to go get some, you know, they just kind of hang around you, you know, and then all of a sudden when it comes time to buy something, you know, they all of a sudden they're hungry, you know. All of a sudden they need something too. Hello? You know, now it's one thing, you know, for my son, Jason, who's going to be 2, amen, this Saturday. It's one thing for him. When I sit down and eat, he comes straight over to me, and he wants whatever I got to eat. Don't matter what he's doing. As soon as I sit down to eat, whenever we sit down to eat, or Julie, whenever we sit down to eat, he always wants what we got. Now, He's a child. He can't work. He can't put in. He's a toddler. He's about to be 2. But some of us know people that are 22, 32, 42, and up that be doing the same thing. And there's a word for that. We call them moochers. People always mooching, you know, mooching. Why am I saying this? look, y'all, members can't be moochers. Some of us here don't put nothing in the church, nothing, not one thing. Can't even volunteer time. But whenever they need something, hello? Whenever something happened in their family. And you know what? Here's the thing. I love it because God has blessed me over and abundantly, and he has blessed this church over and abundantly. There are people that are not paying tithes, but we are or offerings, but we are still good because there are people that are doing it. God has blessed us even to take care of some of the moochers. And I know we have a lot of complaints about the moochers, but let's not forget that God has overflowed our cup. Because we can take care of the moochers and still have enough for us. That is why God has some of us with more than enough. And there's some of us with less than enough. And sometimes because they choose to have less than enough. But I admonish you, those who are moochers, and you know if you are a moocher, a hit dog gonna holler. If you mad at me right now, you probably a moocher. A lot of us laughing, some of us not. Don't show on the cameras, tech team. Don't show who ain't laughing. Don't show who ain't laughing. Don't rob God by robbing St. John. Because as a member of St. John, shouldn't be a moocher.